That's Earth, Wind and Fire on Nova 103.5 with September, perhaps a fittingly named band to take us into the interview. The COP15 on wetlands, otherwise known as the Ramsar COP, actually kicks off today in Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. I have Martin Harper, the CEO of BirdLife International, which is the world's largest nature conservation partnership and one of the six organizing partners to the conference on the line. Good morning, Mr. Harper.
Good morning.
So, Mr. Harper, perhaps you could start off by telling us a little bit more about BirdLife International itself.
Yeah, well, BirdLife International is the world's largest nature NGO partnership. We have 123 national partners in 119 countries around the world. And together, we're the global authority on birds. And we take action on the ground. And we try and influence change by using our voice to try and ensure that birds and all life thrive. And sadly, we don't yet have a partner in Namibia, but we do work really closely with the Namibia Nature Foundation, and we have active partners across most of Africa.
Okay. And I mean, why BirdLife International involved in a conference on wetlands? How does that work together?
Well, wetlands are incredibly important habitats for a huge number of species. And, you know, they cover about 6% of the Earth's surface, but they're home to something like 40% of global biodiversity. But, you know, they're also incredibly important for people. And so action to protect and restore wetlands is good for people and it's great for wildlife. And that's really our focus here in Zim this week.
Okay. I mean, obviously, Namibia being a mostly desert country, we do have wetlands too, but I suppose most of us forget the importance of wetlands and definitely something that we should be protecting. What are some of the greatest threats to wetlands, though?
Yeah, well, I checked, actually. I think your wetlands cover about 1% of your country. And, you know, I mean, around the world, we're talking about marshes, swamps, bogs, fens, coastal wetlands. And, you know, that they are really, really important for water and food security, disaster risk reduction, climate mitigation, adaptation. And 1 billion people worldwide depend on inland waters for their own livelihoods. But they are under threat. You know, sadly, we've lost something like 400 million hectares of wetlands over the last 50 years since I was born in 1970. Sure. And the problems really are associated with, well, habitat loss, degradation due to agricultural expansion, urban development, industrial activities, the construction of things like dams, but also, of course, climate change is causing real problems, whether it's rainfall at the wrong time or drought, or indeed sea level rise. So there's a huge amount to do to try and restore these wetlands and ensure they continue to provide the value to people that we desperately need.
Mm. So I take it those are some of the things that are going to be discussed at the conference?
Yeah, absolutely. But also crucially, finance, because wetland conservation and restoration is really underfunded. And there's a huge gap, as we know, in the amount of money we need to try and halt the loss of biodiversity and begin its recovery. And what the meeting this week is going to try and do is work out how do we turbocharge action to try and restore 30% of degraded wetlands and also ensure that 30% of all of the wetlands on the planet are well protected and managed. And that's going to need, you know, up to $500 billion addition every year. And that's a huge, huge ask. But there's about 172 countries which have ratified this convention. They've signed commitments to try and protect and restore these wetlands. So the BirdLife Partnership, we've got about 20 BirdLife partners here. They're going to be trying to do what they can to inspire governments to take the necessary action both this week and when they get back home.
Mm. There's that talk about sort of, the almost, let's say, a sexy or larger causes and animals get all the attention and the smaller ones don't. I suppose something like wetlands falls in that category, not getting too much global attention.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you know, I mean, I'm never going to be upset if other parts of wildlife gets profile. But yeah, I mean, wetlands are often a bit out of sight, out of mind. But, you know, the people who live and depend on those wetlands for their livelihoods and, of course, the wildlife that calls them their home, they matter. And, of course, many birds migrate and they're dependent, you know, particularly our water birds, they're dependent on networks of sites across the whole of their migratory pathway. Mm. I'm from the UK, you're from Namibia, and many of our birds are shared and many of our water birds are shared. dead. And we've got to try and make sure that we take the action necessary to ensure these migratory birds have a future. So that's really why we're really pleased that the meeting's taking place in Victoria Falls, an unbelievable location, obviously, to have such a meeting. And we hope that it will help raise the profile of wetland conservation.
So from BirdLife International's perspective, what are you hoping to see as possible outcomes of the conference?
Three main things. Firstly, the Ramsar Convention itself will be agreeing a new ambitious strategic plan for the next 10 years, hopefully setting specific targets for wetland conservation and restoration. Second, and there's a really important resolution which needs to be passed to encourage greater international collaboration to support migratory water bird conservation. And thirdly, we really want there to be a commitment for greater investment in water bird monitoring, because we need to have the data to inform conservation action. But, I mean, in addition to those three top objectives, you know, it's a great opportunity to learn and share from each other, and also to profile some of the campaigns some of our partners are running to save key sites such as Lake Natron in Tanzania, which is vulnerable to soda ash development. So there's lots to achieve this week, but they're our priorities.
Have there been any success stories stemming from previous Ramsar COPs that you can share with us?
The first thing I would say is that the Ramsar Convention is actually the oldest environmental convention on a convention on nature. So it started in 1971, outside in Ramsar in Iran. And I think probably the biggest achievement is there's now something like 2,500 Ramsar sites which have been designated. These are wetland sites of international conservation importance. I think what the Ramsar Convention has done is to try and really grow the profile and prominence of wetland conservation. And these conferences help put a spotlight on these incredible value of wetlands for people and for wildlife. I'm hoping this will be a real moment for wetland conservation. And as I say, it inspires loads of people to go and do more to protect the wetlands that we care about and which birds are incredibly dependent upon.
One of the things that I've noticed locally is that people don't realize Namibia actually has our own declared Ramsar sites as well. But where can people find out more about wetlands conservation and also BirdLife International?
So the first thing I'd probably steer people towards is the BirdLife Data Zone. If you just Google BirdLife Data Zone, and you can put in there your favorite site, your favorite species, or you can put in Namibia, and it provides everything you ever wanted to know about birds and their conservation. I'd start there. But also there's wonderful other international organizations which are partners to the convention, such as Wetlands International. And they've got a great network of organizations focusing on wetland conservation as well. So go to the BirdLife Data Zone or check out Wetlands International.
So that was Mr. Martin Harper, the CEO of BirdLife International, talking to us about the Ramsar COP that's kicking off today. And of course, the importance of conserving wetlands. Mr. Harper, thank you so much.
Thanks very much indeed.